13 minutes past 8 o'clock. Good morning. Craig Adams here along with
Susie Peters.
And Susie's brand new best friend, Scott Posna, from the Lorain County General Health District. Because before we went on the air, they were talking high-tech gadgetry.
We were comparing phones.
You whipped out your phones and I've got this, you've got that. It
What's
does
yours
this.
Do?
Who's got a bigger screen?
I've got a bigger screen, so there. I win.
All right. But Scott, he's got to be in touch with a lot of people. He needs a device like that because he is the Environmental Health Program Manager at the Lorain County General Health District. Scott, thanks for coming up today.
Thanks for having me, Craig and Susie.
Is this your first time up here?
It's my first time here.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure
Welcome.
Being here.
Very impressive, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's more than I imagined.
Well, you're not the first to say that. But summer is here. Bugs are here. Mosquitoes are here for sure. I know that firsthand experience. Let's talk a little bit about bugs and things we need to do and watch out for.
Okay. Well, you know, this spring, early summer has provided us with plenty of rain, and with that rain comes a lot of standing water. And when we have that standing water, that affords mosquitoes plenty of breeding sites, so we see those mosquito populations drive up, and I think that's what we're experiencing now. The number of complaints that have come into the district have been increasing steadily over the last couple of weeks.
Wait, I have to interrupt here. People call you to complain about mosquitoes?
Oh, every day. Every day.
What?
Yeah, we have two seasonal interns. They're college students that are looking for careers in environmental health, and their voicemail box for our mosquito hotline is usually filled by 10 a.m.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me interrupt you again.
Mosquito hotline.
You have a mosquito hotline?
Well, we have a phone extension that we call the mosquito hotline, and basically it's a quick route to leaving your complaint and having your complaint serviced by one of our
What do you mean? So you could call and complain about mosquitoes, and then what happens?
Well, what we do is we can come out to a property and assess if you have problems there. If there's standing water, we can treat that to eliminate the mosquito larvae. If you don't have standing water, we can do an assessment to see if you may be harboring mosquitoes. Folks that often call will have tall grass, they'll have brush, shrub debris, and that sort of thing. So they might not actually be breeding mosquitoes on their property, but that cool, damp, shaded area that the tall grass provides will allow the mosquitoes to harbor there during sunny, hot days.
Okay, so it's really hard right now to not have standing water somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that you can treat it with at home?
Well, what we recommend homeowners is, you know, we get a lot of calls right after a heavy rain. Standing water isn't going to be a problem unless it persists for about 7 to 10 days. That's the time it would take for the mosquito egg to hatch, go through the larval form, and then emerge as an adult mosquito. So if you have standing water on your property for 2 or 3 days, don't necessarily worry about that. What would be more of a concern that we typically see is things like buckets, wheelbarrows, clogged gutters, old bird baths, things of that sort. Small bodies of water that are unnoticed by homeowners can breed a lot of mosquitoes. People think, you know, for a lot of mosquitoes, you need a lot of water. That isn't necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Little containers, a 5-gallon bucket that might be half filled with water, can breed a lot of mosquitoes.
Can you put something in that water if you do have it? Do you put like some bleach in there or something?
I wouldn't do that, but you can call the health district and we can come out and treat it. If you have the ability to eliminate the problem, like
right.
You know, turning the buckets, do so. But there are products that are available retail. Mosquito dunks are probably the most common. And that's actually the product that we use at the district. It's in a different format, but it's a freeze-dried bacteria that rehydrates when it hits the water and gets into the mosquito larvae's gut and ulcerates it and causes the larvae to die.
How about that?
So it's natural. It's not necessarily a chemical that we put down. It's safe for other things, but it will control the mosquito larvae.
Mosquitoes can be pesky, but they can also carry disease. Like what, and how likely is it to happen?
Okay. In this area, we our primary concerns are West Nile virus, which everybody's aware of, and we also have La Crosse encephalitis, and that we see sporadically, you know, every few years. The last case in Lorain County was, to the best of my knowledge, was like back in the mid to later part of the 90s, 1996 or so. So that's always a threat, and that's spread by what's called the tree hole mosquito. For that reason, it's a mosquito that breeds in small containers or tree holes. Also, you know, with West Nile virus, we're dealing with a different kind of mosquito, Culex mosquitoes, and those tend to breed in standing water, heavily vegetated water, like roadside ditches, storm sewers that may be clogged, things of that nature.
I always get itchy because the mayflies look like mosquitoes sometimes.
Yes.
And even though we know they're not, it's like you just want to get them away.
It just gives you that itch.
The other thing that, you know, we've been talking about ticks today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard not to go down to the metro parks or go out to a, you know, a field when you're watching 4th of July fireworks.
Sure.
Obviously, we know wear long pants, wear long sleeve clothing. But when it's 90 degrees, you're not going to do that. So what else can you do?
Well, what I would suggest is, you know, with mosquitoes, use some kind of personal repellent like Off or Cutter, that sort of thing. With ticks, after you take a walk in the woods, like you said, you know, the recommendation is to wear boots, long pants, and that kind of thing. But when it's 90 degrees or better, most people aren't going to wear long pants. So what I would suggest is just to kind of give yourself an examination, you know, a quick look over to see if you have a tick on you. And if you do, you can bring it to the health district and I can identify it for you.
Do you have a tick hotline, too?
No, there's no tick hotline. I'm the tick hotline, so you can give me a call, and
right.
I'll try to make arrangements to be there. But a tick is a very flat insect, you know. So if you see it and it's swollen, it's kind of circular in size and nature, that would mean that it had fed on you. So, if folks will often call and say, hey, you know, I found a tick in my, you know, car or in my bed. If it's thin, it probably hasn't fed on you. If it's a round little ball, it probably has a blood meal from you.
You know, to be honest with you, if I see any bug of any sort, the first thing I'm going to do is slap it away. I'm not going to examine it to see whether or not it fed on me. But I guess what you have to look for then is if you think maybe there's a possibility you were bitten, how do you know the difference between just a normal kind of hive that's going to go away or something that you need to get treated?
Well, what I would suggest, you mentioned, you know, swatting the tick or a bug away. You don't really want to do that because what ends up happening unscientifically is you just mash everything from that tick inside that wound. So you should try to extract it as carefully as you can. And then really, you know, other than that, just watch for a secondary infection. Like with anything, if you cut yourself in the garden and you get dirt in there, you know, that could become infected. With a tick bite or something, that also could become infected. But what we're looking for on the public health end is if there's a couple of different ticks that we deal with. Most are American dog ticks. We're really concerned about the black-legged tick. Some people might have known it as the deer tick, which was formerly called. That is the transmitter of Lyme disease. So if you do get one of those bites, what you want to watch for is that bullseye rash. You'll get a little red dot, kind of a zone of skin that's as normal in appearance, and then an outer red rash. So if you get that bullseye look, you want to see your physician, and they'll prescribe some treatment.
How quickly does that normally develop after you've been bitten?
A few days afterwards.
Okay.
About a week.
What goes into treatment?
The treatment for that?
Yeah.
There's a regimen that a physician will put you on, and there's some antibiotic protocol and that kind of thing. But it's over a period of time. It's not just a shot and you're done.
A lot of people are on the move this time of year, and we're talking about primarily so far outdoor bugs, but there are indoor bugs as well, and specifically bed bugs.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of the up-and-coming issue. And in the eyes of public health, it's taken a back seat because bed bugs in and of themselves haven't been shown to transmit disease. So they're an annoyance, and, you know, there's a lot of bugs that are annoyance. The little lady beetles, you know, are annoyance, and the stink bugs are annoyance. So they've kind of been, like, lumped in with that group. But where it becomes of concern to us is, like I mentioned with the ticks, you could get a secondary infection if you had enough bites. Also, the concern that we're seeing is the homeowner who can't afford the proper treatments will often do their own prescribed treatments indoors. And they may be using products that aren't labeled for indoor use, and you could have some toxicity issues.
Like those commercial bombs that you can buy that you it starts spraying in the room. And
sure, and it might not even be labeled for bed bugs. You know, mm-hmm. they may go to a local garden center and use something that is intended to be used outdoors and use it at such a strong concentration that it may persist in the indoor environment for you know, months or even years.
Can you, I've heard people that try to sort of steam the mattress with a, you know, like a clothes steamer, mm-hmm. that the heat will kill them?
Yeah, bed bugs do not like heat. About 114 degrees will kill them. So my suggestion to travelers or if somebody, you know, has slept at a hotel, take a look at the hotel. You know, don't necessarily just throw all your things down on the bed or floor. Take a look around, you know, peel back the mattress sheet. Look for you know, signs of bed bugs, and you'll see them. They're little black, like maybe sesame seed-sized bugs. And if you see them, you know, by all means, pack up your stuff and leave.
Will they move?
Yes, they do not fly. You know, probably one of the biggest misconceptions we hear at the health department is, I was in this room and they had bed bugs and they were flying around. Bed bugs won't fly. They walk pretty fast. Like, I would call it a run. But they will not fly. So again, you know, keep your luggage and things up off the floor. If you're at a someone's home or something where you might think there could be bed bugs, try to sit on a hard surface, a hard chair or something, as opposed to a soft couch. Because the bed bugs will tend to collect in areas where there's people, because that's their blood meal. So around beds, as you know, they're known. But also, you know, somebody sleeps on a couch or has a favorite chair, they will, you know, tend to inhabit that area also.
So again, with the heat, I mean, could you take a clothes steamer and actually apply that to, say, a mattress? Would that help?
Sure. Yeah, that would help. If you had bed bugs in your clothing, I would suggest drying it, you know, throwing them in the dryer. But steam heat would help, although that, you know, it's a little tedious. You'd have to, you know, keep up on that if you had many bed bugs. And places that have been infested, they actually used heat in the entire home. They'll bring in space heaters and heat the entire structure to kill the bed bugs.
Which you don't want to do on your own, we should say, because that could be very dangerous.
Yes, again, some of those home thought solutions have become problems.
That was like the story we had the other day where the woman had a spider and she threw, a towel on it and then set the towel on fire.
Right, and then burned down her house.
Right.
Yes, and you'll hear oftentimes too, isopropyl alcohol or rubbing alcohol, people will put on the bed sheets to kill the bugs. And it's very effective. Again, very tedious and, you know, labor intensive, not recommended. But we've had folks that, you know, have kind of combined that, not necessarily here in the county, but in the state, where they've used rubbing alcohol in conjunction with a space heater, and there was not a good result.
No, yeah. No. Scott Posna is our guest today from the Lorain County General Health District. Of course, school is out for the summer, but now is the time for a lot of kids to get immunizations, and you've got clinics underway. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yes. If you go to our website, LorainCountyHealth.com, it'll have all this information, but we do offer immunizations on a regular basis. You can call the health department at 322-6367 or go onto our website, you know, for those dates and locations. The immunizations are available for those that are 18 and over at the health district, and those are on the fourth Tuesday of each month from 1 to 6 p.m.
Okay. Now, we've talked about bugs. We've scared Susie now to go outdoors. She doesn't want to be indoors, but you do have outdoor walks offered every week in Oberlin.
Yeah, there's quite a few things going on at the health district other than combating bugs. We have fitness walks in Oberlin at the Splash Zone. Those have become pretty popular. We also have them now in Amherst at the Lorain County Metro Parks Amherst Beaver Creek location. Those are every Thursday, beginning at 5:30. And we are also, we have a contest now called Beyond the Dirt. It's a photo contest for fresh fruits and vegetable awareness that residents can take pictures of themselves involved with their fruits or vegetables.
Maybe their own home garden or going out to a farmer's market.
Sure.
Or even at the grocery store.
Right. Anything involving fresh fruits or vegetables. So if you want to take a photo of yourself or your children cooking vegetables or going shopping at a farmer's market, growing your own vegetables, go ahead and submit that photo to us and we'll pick a winner during the county fair.
And then your next photo contest, I'm just giving you the idea right now, no charge, is water. Pictures of people drinking water. Because I'm always reminding people, I have to remind myself to drink water because I'm not a huge fan of water, mm-hmm. but I know how important it is.
Sure.
And it's just as like you constantly need to be drinking water in the summertime because
right.
They say by the time you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated.
Right.
So you don't even want to get to the point where you're thirsty.
Exactly. Exactly. And water is the recommended way to
remedy.
Yeah.
Best remedy for thirst.
Exactly.
Water.
Exactly.
Right, Craig, you got
that's
that?
That's right. I've got the water.
Okay.
Scott, if anybody wants to check out more, of course, they can go to LorraineCountyHealth.com and your mosquito and tick hotline. If they want to call in a complaint to you, what should they do?
They can enter the complaints the same way, either via the website or calling us direct at the 322-6367 number. You know, and one last thing, speaking of water, we do now have our beach monitoring water results up on our website. So
you do?
If you're going to be attending one of the area beaches, take a look at our website and we can show you what kind of water quality.
That is so important because with the storms we've had, you know, I see people taking kids out to the beach right after a storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, boy, if you have a little cut or something like that, that is not safe.
Right. There'll be signs posted when the bacteria levels are elevated. So you can use those as, you know, kind of a barometer to see whether you do or don't want to go into the water. And what my recommendation with that is if the bacterial counts are high, you know, maybe keep the younger children or somebody who's immunocompromised out of the water, or at least have them, you know, not dunk their head under, especially children. They tend to swallow a lot of water as they're swimming, and those bacteria counts being high may give them some.
So your ratings that you post mm-hmm. are based on a number of different factors.
Yeah, well, they're actual water samples that are taken to the lab and analyzed. But the factors primarily, like you mentioned, are after heavy rains, combined storm sewer overflows and stuff will empty into the lake. The sediment in the lake that might have, you know, some high bacterial counts will kind of get roughed up with the waves and, you know, increase those levels.
Scott, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Scott Posna, the Environmental Health Program Manager at the Lorain County General Health District.